Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 339.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 339. My name is Brendan Lowe, creator and founder of Jazz Piano School. Check out jazzpianoschool.com for all the free education. Go to youtube.com/jazzpianoschool if you want the video lesson of this podcast and you don't want to hear me do these long-winded intros. Don't worry, I won't be offended. You can go watch the video. 45-second intros, tops for you, okay? But I like to do the podcast. If this is your first time listening, I get a chance to speak my mind, talk to you, kind of share what's happening inside of Jazz Piano School, give you insights and tips into the podcast lesson that you're about to hear, and just keep you updated on the news and information and the education of jazz piano and throughout the world and what's happening inside of Jazz Piano School. So here we are today. This is a really, really fun episode. This episode came about because we're experimenting with different thumbnails, to be completely transparent, and we have this fun thumbnail of all these like fast cars. And I was like, oh, let me do a podcast on fast tempos, right, to go with the fast cars. So you probably saw that. And so I am giving you my five best tips to handling super fast tempos for improv. Okay, so you're going to be, if you're improvising over really, really fast tempos or you want to improvise over fast tempos, these tips are going to help you get there. Now, actually, these tips are going to help you either way, right? So the great thing about these tips is like in improv, these are great tips for just improvising in general. So if you're a beginner and you're not even thinking about reaching speeds of 200 BPM, 250 BPM, 300, right? That's okay. You can still use these in slow tempo, slow sing tempos, and they're going to be amazing, amazing improv tips that you should already start to implement and integrate into your playing at an early start of your improv career. Okay, I promise you they'll make you so much better. They'll also help build a foundation for when you do want to go into some faster tempos, I promise. I still use them to this day. And as I say in the podcast, I'm working here. This isn't a breeze for me by any means. I mean, like, I'm focusing, I'm working, it's a fast tempo. So at fast tempos, you know, it's not a walk in the park, trust me, okay? Even for me, even for the greats, okay, they make it look easy, but trust me, they are in the zone, they're focused, they are just like, they're loving it, but at the same time, right, you can't let off the gas. You really gotta keep your mind in it and just stay focused, and with these tips, it's going to help you do that so much more. So Memorial Day is around the corner. If you want to get some amazing deals, we run really huge, huge, huge specials. It's one of the few times during the year we run massive discounts on everything inside of Jazz Piano School, and we're releasing new products, live teaching programs. It's like it's a Jazz Piano School student's, excuse me, a Jazz Piano student's dream, right? To get access or get save money and get access to anything that they want, any course, any membership, any live teaching program, whatever you're looking for, right? We have it for you. Trust me, okay? So to get the VIP deals, you want to go to jazzpianoschool.com/Memorial Day Deals. No space. jazzpianoschool.com/Memorial Day Deals. Put your email down and you'll get sent the VIP deals when the sale goes live to our huge Memorial Day sale. Okay? Throughout the year, we don't offer these. People come to the website. They pay full price. Okay? And, you know, it's just the way it is. It's the same thing in life. Best Buy, wherever you go, stores, right? There's sales, they're there, then they're gone. Sometimes you pay full price, sometimes you don't. That's why it's so good to hop on these sales. I know I've done both, right? I've gone back to a store and been like, oh my God, this was like $100 cheaper last week. Why did I buy it then? You know, you always think they're coming back. And some stores are like, I see these like carpet stores or some places that we're going out of business, right? And then a week later, they're still there. And then we're going out of business, right? Trust me, that's, sorry, that makes me laugh. It's really funny. There is one store I drive like by it almost weekly and I always laugh. But that's not what this is, okay? So this is a fun episode. I'm going to probably keep sporadically pumping these out at different times because I think it's really fun to have you understand and watch like what it does take to get to a certain level. And one of the things I've been talking to with my live teaching students in my mastermind program, my accelerator program, and just the members inside of Jazz Piano School as well, one of the things that holds students back that I see a lot, like I would say it's in the top five, is that students just don't learn a tool or a concept well enough. They just don't learn it well enough. They go on or think they know it before, like not even halfway before they actually need to get up to, right? The point they need to get up to. And the tempo scales I use in these practice videos are really, really amazing indicators of the level you need to get to in order to achieve your dream and like learn freedom within jazz piano. Because again, we're not trying to play transcriptions. We're not trying to like copy other people. Well, at least that's what I'm trying to teach you. I'm trying to teach you how to fish. I don't want to just give you the fish, right? So you really need to dive deep into every single tool and concept and really get a hold of it. So it's in your hands, your body, your soul, because ultimately our main goal is that we are trying to practice this so much that when we do go to use these tools in a spontaneous, pressured environment, they come out naturally without mistakes. And to get to that level, right, that's like you're training to play and perform in a game, right? The game is the tune. The pressured situation is us playing through the tune and wanting to have it sound good and making spontaneous choices in the moment because that's what jazz is, right? And that's a game-like scenario. And I see so many students try way too fast to pull off or even practice in the game, right? You shouldn't be practicing in the game. Can you imagine if athletes were practicing the game? And this is another analogy I've been using all the time. I think everyone should hear this. You have to practice outside the game and then perform in the game because when it comes game time, when it comes time to play the tune, the pressure is on, you're sweating, you black out, you don't really know what's going on. And the more training you put in outside the tune, the better off you're going to be, right? And I see so many people just learning tunes and playing tunes and learning tunes and playing tunes. Sure, that's all fun and good. I mean, that's going to be a fun way to play jazz piano. Don't get me wrong, right? But getting better at something is a lot different than having fun, okay? If you want to get better at something, it's not about having fun. You know, some of it is, but I'm just trying to be brutally honest with you, right? So we really, you have to enjoy the grind is what I'm saying. You have to enjoy the work. You have to enjoy the repetition. You have to enjoy the pursuit of patience and discipline on staying with one tool, like the rootless voicings we've been working on, right? And really going deep into your rootless voicings and learning them, preparing them, thinking about them, drilling them over and over and over every single day, right? For weeks, for months, how many ever it takes, how long it ever takes to get up to the certain tempos that I say in that, because when you go to use them in the tune, in the game time, not just one tune now, think about it. The more you work you put in outside of tunes, the more you're going to be able to use the tool over all tunes. I'm going to say that again. The more work that you put in outside the tune, the more you restrict yourself from playing tunes and practicing through tunes, the easier it's going to be to play all tunes. I understand it's really hard to realize that because a lot of teachers, education, we're always working on the tune. Now, the tune obviously is more fun. It's the ice cream. We want to play tunes. That's the goal. I get it. Okay. It's fun for me to show you voicings on specific tunes that you want to learn. I teach you the chords, these cool voicings, these cool things to play on Fly Me to the Moon, on It's Only a Paper Moon, on Beautiful Love, right? But when you go to open up to another new tune that you don't know, guess what happens? You're a deer in the headlights. And the reason I know this is because I've been there myself, right? And I've done this. And when you go to open up to another new tune that you've never played, you don't know what to do. And then you open up to another tune, you don't know what to do, right? So are you really learning how to play jazz piano, or are you just getting different ways and copying different methods from a teacher, from a video on how to play tune by tune by tune? Because trust me, if you go about your pursuit that way, you're never going to get there. You're never going to reach your goal. I promise you, right? If you go tune by tune trying to learn how to play voicings on every single tune without learning the tools, the fundamentals, the technique, right? That's the underlying support system of what jazz sits on, right? Jazz is about spontaneity and choices in the moment. And to get up to that level of fluidity and producing options and choices in the moment that you're making, right? That's not about playing tunes. That's about drilling the tools, drilling the things that you need to create that environment. Does that make sense? I love to kind of speak the truth and just, I don't want to beat around the bush, you know, because you know what? This is what happened to me for so long. And I made a promise to myself when I was super young, everyone, like right when I got out of college, I was like 21 years old because I started teaching really, really young. Right? Even in my teens, I was teaching jazz piano. I was teaching what I learned. I developed my systems. I was crafting different systems for what I was learning. I was obsessed. I'm still obsessed, right? But when you start early, right, and you're working on all these things, trust me, everything else later down the line is going to completely open up for you, okay? I promise. I think I shifted points there. My mind wandered for a second, but that's okay. Yes, it happened to me. Anyway, I was super frustrated, so I made a promise to myself that I would never do that to students. My future students, all my education in the future, I literally promised myself I'm going to be very honest in a nice, kind way and motivating, inspiring. Hopefully I am. But I never wanted to beat around the bush and just try to appease the student. Now, I do try to make it fun and engaging for sure, because we all need that. Right. And I'm not saying drilling stuff can't be fun. Like I had a great time in this episode drilling these secrets. I had a great time drilling the rootless voicings in the last two episodes with Iroh Pro. It's super fun. I could do that all day. Right. It's amazing. And when you have goals and you're shooting for certain levels, you know exactly what your goal is. You know what the expectation is. When I put out these videos, you can follow me. And if you can do it exactly like me at a certain tempo, boom, you're golden. Right. You're absolutely golden. So I think they're amazing benchmark videos that you should shoot for. This one in particular today isn't that, right? The last two were, but this is more about handling fast tempos. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox here. So don't forget to go to jazzpianoschool.com/memorialdaydeals to get on that list. If you're looking to pick up any courses, membership, or live, get on the list for the live teaching programs. The live teaching programs are pretty in demand, so there is a waiting list. So you have to get on that kind of waiting list. If you get on the Memorial Day deals list, you'll be put in the queue for that as well anyway. So with that being said, let's dive right in. Here we go. All right, so here we are, the first way to tackle fast tempos with your improv. Number one, you probably guessed it, it's going to be space. Just leaving space is okay, right? It's okay to leave space. You don't have to play a lot. So I have Olio. I essentially have rhythm changes queued up here with Iroh Pro at 250, okay, which is definitely getting up there, right? And I'm just going to play a couple things here and there. I'm not even going to use my left hand. I might comp one or two things, but just leaving space is okay. It allows you to breathe. It allows you to process, and it allows you to kind of think about what you're trying to do instead of getting flustered and overwhelmed. Here we go. So lots of space, right?
Mm-hmm. just leave space, right? Leave space. Now, I'm not, there's no like system to this or anything. I'm just letting myself get ready for what I'm going to play, right? And again, even if you're not an advanced player, even if you're a beginner player, just stick to something simple, just an octave. Like a lot of times I was just playing octave. So space, just leave space. It's such an easy thing that I really don't hear students do that much. Like when that fast tempo comes on, they feel like they have to play constant eighth notes the entire time. You really don't have to do that. This is a really easy way to tackle that, okay? The second one is going to be a horizontal improvisational approach instead of a vertical. Now, in rhythm changes, we have lots of changes. B flat 6, B flat major 7, G7, obviously there's lots of variations to rhythm changes. So, you know, if I say a chord and you're like, oh, that's not the chord, Brendan, right? There's lots of variations, okay? So just bear with me. C minor 7, F7, D minor 7, 6, 2, 5, 2, 5 to the 4, right? So we got lots of changes. So you could think about every single chord change, trying to hit all the chord tones. Whatever it is, like that's a really, really difficult thing to do, trying to nail all those chord tones on every single chord at 250. Now, that's the vertical approach where you're thinking about every single chord. The horizontal approach is where if you analyze the progression and you see that it's in a certain key, we're in the key of B flat here, and all these chords, for the most part, are just B flat chords. They're just B flat chords. So if you see sections in tunes, especially in rhythm changes, or tunes that have lots of chord progressions from the same key, then you can just play over that key whatever you want. One of the easiest ways to do this is with the blues. So I can play B flat blues the entire time. Right? And again, I strongly encourage you not to play much of anything. Just try to keep it light, simple. And all I'm thinking about is B-flat blues the entire time. Now, for my left hand, all I'm going to do here, a great rhythm changes thing you can do is I'm going to go from my B-flat 6, C minor 7, diminished, back into my B-flat 6. So this is really kind of a B-flat 6 chord I'm playing. C minor 7, D-flat diminished. This is a great thing, pattern you can use for your left hand. And I just use this throughout the entire time. So here is the horizontal approach, all right? Now the bridge, didn't really talk about the bridge, but the bridge gets into some different harmonic changes, right? We have a lot of secondary dominant movements, okay? So this particular case, you do kind of really have to think about a vertical approach for those two measures, but that's okay. Just it's one chord per every two measures. So you can think all D7, right? And don't kind of disregard even just the simplest bebop scale, a little passing tone. Between the 1 and the 7 will do wonders for you, right? But I'll give you an example of the blues again. I can play any sort of blues. And again, I'm thinking over a horizontal improvisational mindset here. I'm not thinking per chord. I'm just thinking one texture the entire time. Here it is again. Okay, so again, I started my first run here on the D7, right? Just running down a bebop scale. So again, per chord here on the bridge, all I'm thinking is D7, and I just ran down a scale. Now, obviously, you have to practice your scales a little bit, but that's, you can think Mixolydian. I recommend thinking bebop scale because it's going to align your chord tones on the downbeats. Here's my D7 bebop scale. Here's my G7 bebop scale. The bebop scale is just a passing tone between the 7 and the 1 of your Mixolydian mode. Okay? So that's going to be number 2. Think horizontally. The next thing that I love that I really don't hear students do enough that I do so much, which is so much fun, is just take a break. Take a break from improvisation. Improvisation isn't just your right hand improv. Improvisation is everything you do on the piano. So that includes comping, right? You could have fun with chords and comping, and doing this, right, is a lot less technically taxing on your mind, your body, your hands, than playing straight eighth note bebop lines the entire time. Just comp, right? And again, if you're just kind of comping the pattern that I just showed you, maybe just doing this, right? Or something like it. And again, I could just comp. Shells, whatever it is. So here's what that sounds like. I'll solo a little bit and then I'll just comp and I just take a break and it kind of puts me at ease, allows me to relax a little bit, and then I can go back to my right hand flurry of lines right over this fast tempo. Here we go. A nice break. I mean, even for me, this is a fast tempo, right? I'm working here, okay? You know, a lot of things that I teach on jazzpianoschool.com and these videos are pretty easy for me, but like this is, I wouldn't say it's easy by any means, but I'm working. I'm having to concentrate here for sure, okay? So that's a nice comping break is a way to do it, and I could have comped way less. I was comping a lot here. Here's what a way less comping might sound like too. Sparse. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, dot, dot, dot. Along with this type of thing, I just want to kind of go into the way that you feel the time. I could have made this a point in itself. I probably should have in retrospect, but if you feel the time in regards to the tempo instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, that's going to cause a lot of anxiety. So a lot of times when I'm feeling the tempo, this really should be another point in here. So bonus point right here. When you feel the tempo, I feel it usually in whole notes. 1, 1, 1, 1. So I see a lot of people furiously tapping their foot or like bouncing up and down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, right? Breathe. Just feel the tempo. Subdivide the tempo by whole notes. 1, 1, 1. You can even subdivide the tempo by two full measures. I could go 1, 1, right? And so that's me feeling the tempo in a much easier way. Just two full measures. Check it out. Here's what it might sound like if I was just comping. 1, 1, 1, 1, 1, 1. This is, again, two full measures. I can even talk and play, right, at the same time. It gives me that much space. Space. I can do everything with my hands, right, and just wave them back and forth. I have this much space. It's so much easier, right? So that makes it way easier than thinking 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. I mean, the bass player and the drummer, they have it the worst. Well, you know, solo piano is a different ballgame. I'm just talking about rhythm section playing right now. If you're improvising in a rhythm section, or if you're doing solo piano and you're playing at this speed, power to you. Power to you, because that is really, really hard. You're walking bass up. You know, and that is a very, very hard thing to do, or stride. That is a very high level, right? So I'm just talking about rhythm section playing right here. So comping to take a break and how you feel the tempo. I kind of gave you a bonus one there. Number four is going to be patterns. Patterns, diatonic patterns are very easy to do. I hear players do this all the time. I don't use them that much, but I will do them in certain cases. Like, so if we take our B flat major scale, my C is sticking here. Gotta fix that today. Right? Patterns, you can go up by triads. You could do G minor here, yeah. You can do seventh chords. You can do fourths if you want to get a more modern sound, right? You could just do up a third, down a third. So here's what some patterns might sound like. Or even if I just do octaves like up the scale, that's a pattern. I might go three up, three down, three up, three down. So just little small patterns are always great, and they can just be diatonic, okay? Here we go. Space, space. Down. Right? So any really sort of patterns, again, you might want to obviously shed some patterns at first. Again, I hear a lot of people go up and down seventh chords. That's a really good one to use. And again, if you want more of that modern sound, any sort of fourth voicings will always give you like that patternistic sound. Not one I particularly use that much, to be honest with you, but it is a great thing that I hear players do. And finally, rhythms and motifs in groove. You've already heard me do this a lot, but at this tempo, and especially as even if you get in, depending upon what skill level you're at, as you get into higher tempos, you're going to feel anxiety. You're going to feel the pressure and stress to play a lot of notes, and you just don't have to. You just don't have to. It's about the groove. If you create repetitive rhythms, that's what's going to sound good. You really don't need a lot of lines. And in fact, if you play lots of eighth note lines and I'm listening to you play, I won't remember a single one because everything's going by so fast, right? But if you played a repetitive rhythmic line, I can latch onto that as a listener and be like, oh, I can actually hear what they're doing. If you're playing a constant flurry of notes, I have no idea what that is. Like, I don't really know what you're playing. It's just lots and lots and lots of notes. And a lot of time, it's pretty overwhelming to the audience and even yourself, right? So here's what repetitive motifs would sound like at this tempo. Nice, easy space, repetitive grooving, okay? Here we go. Just lots and lots of repetitions, and guaranteed you could sing back a lot of what I was doing. I was just staying on one note, right? You could just repeat that, right? It's kind of like they're like background lines, you know, that you might hear a horn section do in a big band or something like that. Kind of like old school stuff, right? Really, really fun stuff, and these sound great over fast tempos. Any tune, too. It doesn't even have to be rhythm changes. But if you just focus in on the groove and repetitive rhythms, this is really, really going to sound great over fast tempos. And people are going to be like, oh, I love that. If you can't sing something back, it's probably too many notes, right? Really focus on creating melodies in those repetitive rhythms. So hopefully that was helpful. Go ahead and put these into play in the next super fast tempo that you use. Hopefully after you work on them a little bit and put them into action, you're going to be much better at handling these high, high tempos up in the 250s and even up to 300. So with that being said, I hope you have a fantastic day. I'll talk to you later.